Hi, everybody. Good evening. Welcome to shareenjoyment.com. Thank you, everybody, for joining. Thank you, Esther, Mitch, and the entire team. So tonight's share is on Parshas Balak, which is very interesting because we end up by saying bracha v'lo klala. That's exactly what happens in this week's parsha. So Rashi Tevos of Balak is Beis Lamed Kuf, bracha lo klala. And we find that whatever it is that transpires during the Sefer Bamidbar has so much to do, and notwithstanding this particular episode, is Bamidaber, what comes out of our mouths. And Bamidbar, no exception. So there are countless examples, and this is really a conversation between two Gentile kings who ended up becoming the forefathers of the Jewish nation, because we know they are part of the family history. How so? Because Bilam is Lavan, and Lavan was the one who, he's a brother of Rivka, he's the grandparent of the Shiftekah, and we say that by Balak, on the other hand, we have Balak. Balak was the king of Moab, and his son was Eglon, and his daughter was Rus, and from which comes Mashiach. So we know that from these two sides, there are great things that are about to happen. But Balak recognizes this and doesn't want it to transpire. And he says that we should curse this nation, ki ravu, because there are many. Mefarshim, specifically the Ben Ish Chai, brings down that the word Rav is Rashi Tevos for Rus and Boaz, that he sees in the future that they will be the progenitors of Mashiach. And much of today's activities that we see unfolding before our very eyes are Ikvasa de Mashiach, where we see that everyone is against Israel, and we know that this is not a new phenomena. But for the very first time, Israel attacked Yemen, which has never happened before. And the theater of operation has, so to speak, has begun to expand somewhat. So we're hoping and praying that the recent attack, in Tel Aviv by a drone sent all the way from Yemen that killed an individual and wounded several others, won't ever happen again. And it's just fascinating to see how these events, which are rooted in this week's parsha, specifically anti-Semitism, and how these two leaders plotted together to destroy, God forbid, the Jewish people. But as we see from this week's parsha, that Bilam says, whatever is supposed to come out of my mouth will be. And that's what Balak understood. Vayar Balak, that Balak saw that if Sihon and Og were unable to defeat Moshe and the Jewish army, then what chance do I have of unsettling Moshe Rabbeinu? And so he desired to move forward with words, but he was countered by Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah. But we don't find anything in this week's parsha where Moshe Rabbeinu is standing up in the sense of, in case of the Meraglim or in the event of the Chet HaEgel where Moshe Rabbeinu is defending. This here that we find is the blessing of an evil person who was taken out actually next week's parsha by Pinchas when he floated in the air and Pinchas said the Shema Mefarsh and chased after Balaam and then slayed him. But we see that we take one particular phrase that Bilam said, and we make that our focal point of the opening of our tefillos. And I wanted to focus on this tonight. Why is it that we open every single morning with Matovo Olach Yaakov Mishkan Yisrael? Question one. Question two, why is it that we take something else that Bilam said when he was, they say that Bilam's father was Lavan, or that it was the same neshama, or that it was the same person, just changed his name. That we say that before Rivka left the house, they asked her, do you want to go with this man, Eliezer, to meet your future husband, Yitzchak? And she said, yes, I want to leave. And so Lavan comes over and he says, Ati la'alfi ravava v'yirash zareich eis shar sonav. Translated, you shall be tens of thousands and your children shall inherit the gates of their enemies. Interestingly enough, at the Akedah, Avraham Avinu says, "V'yirash zareich eis shar oivav," and by Lavan, he is using a different type of language called sonav. So the answer that I remember learning is that Yishmael, in the semblance of Avram had Yishmael and Yitzchak, or Yitzchak and Yishmael. So Yishmael was always known as an oyev, as an enemy. Okay, but when we talk about Yitzchak and Rivka, they end up having a Yaakov and an Esav. And we know that Esav is son is Yaakov. So then we have to ask ourselves, well, what is the difference between an oyev and a sone? They both mean the same thing. They both mean enemy. So the answer is that an Oyev does not have a rationale for hating a Jew. They just simply hate Jews. In fact, recently, just this past week, AOC joined together with two Jews to form a socialist union or a socialist party. And when other people found out that there are two Jews on this platform, they basically crushed the party. They dismissed the party. So it doesn't take much. There's no rationale. Even if people believe in what you're saying, just the mere association with somebody who is Jewish makes that person feel uncomfortable. So that means that an Oyev is somebody who has no rationale, no reason, just irrational hatred. Whereas a Soneh, someone who hates a Jewish person, is somebody who's like an Esav, where he said, he has a reason. Now, it may not be a just reason, it may not be an accurate reason, but he claims to at least have a reason. Okay, so now that we've cleared the path for what the difference is between an Oyev and a Soneh, we get back to a Bilam who we say that Lavan was Bikish Lakras Hakol, right? Paro was Gozer Al Haschara, and then Lavan Bikish Lakras Hakol. And here you have a Bilam who's coming back, who was, by the way, beforehand, he was one of the Yoatzim, right? We know that there were three Yoatzim to Paro, three advisors. When Paro said, "What should we do with the Jews?" And at the beginning of Sefer Shmos, the Medrash brings down that there was Yisro, there was Bilam, and there was Eo. And so Yisro said, let them be free, and let them observe the Shabbos. And he tried to create a better set of circumstances on the ground. And as a result, he merited to have a son-in-law like Moshe Rabbeinu. The second was Eo, he stayed quiet, and they ended up suffering. And the third was Bilam. And we see what transpired with Bilam, and we see his untimely end in next week's parasha. Okay, so now that we go back to this question, the first question we asked is, why is it that we open every day with Matovu? And the answer is because we find that when Moshe Rabbeinu set up the camp in Mitzrayim, not one Pesach, not one opening of one door opened up into another. That means that when you left your house in the morning and the afternoon or at evening, you always saw a wall of your neighbor's property. You never were able to see inside that person's house. Now, why is that significant? It sounds rather benign. Doesn't really sound too significant at all. And the answer is because if you look into someone else's property, you might get jealous. You might have a prettier chandelier in the mud hut. I don't know. You might have a prettier set of tableware, earthenware. There wasn't that much to be jealous about back then because, again, everyone had basic needs and basic utensils. But there might be a cause for jealousy. A person might have more of something than the other, and that could create jealousy as well. So if a person is jealous, then that could lead to theft. And if there's resistance, that could lead to murder. And this is the reason why the Ramban brings down by the Aseret HaDibros that the last of the Aseret HaDibros, Lo Tsanaf, of not don't be jealous, is a kolel of the prior nine. Why? It's a synopsis of all the prior nine. We say that the Aseret HaDibros is a kolel of the entire 613 mitzvos. And then the Ramban goes one step further to say that the last is a kolel of the prior nine, which means that you learn everything from not being jealous. Sounds pretty amazing. And the reason why that's so fascinating and so true is because if a person is confident, self-sufficient, and understands that I could treat other people with respect, but I'm fully confident, I'm fully capable of achieving great things, then there's no need for a person to look at someone else's parent, let's say, and say, how come his parent has drives a certain type of car or has a certain type of so luxury that I wish that my father would have, or other things like of that nature. Yes, it's true. We all want the best for ourselves. And that's true in all philosophy. But the concept is that if you're not going to be jealous and you're going to look at each other with a favorable eye, then you'll never come to theft. You'll never come to murder. And then if you even scale it back, you'll say, Kabbalah Sabicha, of course I'm going to honor my parents because they're the only parents I have. And they're the most wonderful people on the face of the planet. Granted, there are other parents. My friends have parents and they're wonderful too. But God blessed me with these two parents, grandparents, great grandparents, whichever we're zochet to enjoy. And that it was the best experience that I could have ever had. And so with a deep appreciation and a profound sense of gratitude, that's what propels a person to say, going back to Anochi Hashem Lokecha, I'm so happy, Baruch Hashem. Hashem took away a paro, and now I'm able to serve Hashem. All these are just positive energy that feed off positive energy. And that's the reason why the Ramban says that particular of the Aseres Dibros, the last, the Sinaf, is the most important and the most integral. Now we get back to the concept of Matovu. So since we did not see into the neighbor's house, we were not jealous, we were not able to say anything negative. If we are unable to speak negative about our neighbor, because we are positive and we are happy for our neighbor's success, and they're happy for our success, and there's positive energy throughout, then what happens is that there's no pischon peh for someone else, such as a Bilam, to say something negative about us, because he doesn't have a right to say so, because we ourselves do not speak poorly about each other. So our security blanket and the way that we protect ourselves is through our Shmiras HaLashon. And as a result of being so careful with our speech, Bilam was forced to say something positive, reflective of what he said is actually emblematic of what he desired not to say. He desired to say the opposite of what was said, but he wasn't able to. And that's, again, going back to Matovu Lach Yaakov Mishchasach Yisrael. This is the reason why. Now we ask the second question on this question. Why did we start every day with this tefillah? Why specifically at the onset of our tefillah? And my Harusa, Rabbi Avraham Bakenroth, once said many years ago, and I'm sure he said it again this past Shabbos, he said that the reason why is because we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that by extension, if I don't say anything negative about someone else, and I am not looking into my neighbor's dealings so closely, Hashem, please do not look into my dealings so closely. Don't look into my day-to-day activities, because if you did, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked too closely, you might find something that you don't like. You might find something that doesn't agree with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm not perfect, and I'm not doing things exactly the right way that I should be doing all the time. So therefore, since I don't look so closely into Yenim, Hashem, please don't look so closely into mine. And once we clear the slate, then we ask Hashem for brachas in Yeshua's Baruch Aleinu Hashanah Azos, Rufa'enu, and then bracha v'atzlacha Shema Koleinu. We ask Hashem to bless us, to heal the sick, and to heal the wounded, to protect our soldiers, to protect our families, and to bless us with Ad Beli Dai. That's the reason why we open up every single morning with Matovu Lach Yaakov Mishchasach Yisrael. We effectively clean the slate. We clear the slate. And I just wanted to share another thought on this topic of Lavan, who said to his sister, Ati Laufi Ravava, V'yiras Arich Yisar Sonav, that we say this at the chuppah. We say this to every kala that goes under the chuppah. The father gives this bracha to his daughter. And he says to her, you should be like tens of thousands and your children should inherit the gates of their enemies. What exactly does this mean? If Lavan was such a Ramai, was he being Mamayit Birchas Avram? Avram Vina was given the bracha of Kechochvei HaShemayim V'chachol HaShar HaSfas HaYam. So what does it mean that you will only be like tens of thousands? If I take a 10,000, I multiply by 1,000, I get a million. Does that mean that we won't have more than a million Jews in the world? We actually number today 15 million. The number 15 million is the same number that we had back in Mitzrayim. V'chamushim alu. 3 million Jews left, 600,000 of which were Mamar HaSinai, the men between 20 and 60. But we all understand that there's a powerful lesson over here. And this, again, is something I'll attribute to my Chavrusa, Rabbi Avraham Bakenroth. I recall him saying it, that he says that the word Alfei refers to Alufim, that in every generation there will be Jewish leaders. And we know and we see all around the nations of the world are astounded when we tell them we have a Gemach for chairs, tables, baby formula, A to Z, you name it, we have it. And if you tell them that we created hospitals, Jewish hospitals in Cincinnati, if we tell them that we created Tomchei Shabbos and Hatzalah, volunteer efforts and Chaverim and, you know, Misaskim, you name it from soup to nuts, from A to Z, from the beginning of life until the end of life, we are here to support each other. And there's no way to explain this to the outside world, how such a small people are able to do so much with so little resources, but so many resources. And we find the resources to help each other. And it is astounding. It is beyond understanding. So what this means is that Ati La'alfi Ravava, your children will be the leaders, the generals of tomorrow. And through your chesed, through your acts of kindness, You will be the beholder at the token of those nations of the world. They will give over the keys to their cities to you because of all the kindness that you shower upon them. And may it be so in our day. May the nations of the world see the greatness of the Jewish people, how wonderful neighbors we are to each other, and how we help each other. Just want to thank everybody for joining us. Remember the reason why we say Matovo every single day. Have kavana when we say Matovo Lach Yaakov. And of course, everyone should have a wonderful week.
Tonight's shiur is dedicated to Louis Nishmas, Gershon Ben Yechezkel Feivel.
And Hashem Shalom Aliyah. Okay, have a great night.